Begin the current daf Masechtas Becharis daf Lamed Zayin. Begin 13 lines down at the top of the Yomit, where the Gemara continues with the next and final Mishnah of this parak, continuing the topic of Kol Psula Mekdashin regarding the blemishes in the laws of the Bechar. Now says the Mishnah, Hashecher es Bechar. Someone slaughtered a firstborn animal and he sold from its flesh. V'noida shalo hiro. Then it was revealed that he had never showed this firstborn animal to a sage and to permit it to say that it's blemished and it can be eaten, and it still has that cheskes iser. So masha achlu, what the consumers ate, achlu, they ate. But the yachzul lehem adamim, he has to pay them back for that value of what they ate as a penalty, because there's a doubtful iser over here that it might have been an unblemished bechar, which is forbidden to be eaten. So that was a mistaken acquisition, and this is a penalty that we give him, that even though they ate from it already, but he has to compensate them. And umash lo yachlu, and what they didn't eat yet, habasu yikavers, that meat has to be buried, because a bechar tam, which this was never verified that it wasn't, the firstborn that's unblemished is forbidden to have any benefit from it. So it has to be buried. V'yachzes adam, and that also from that money of that flesh which is buried, he has to pay them back too. That's regarding the laws of bechar. Says the Mishnah, similarly, v'chein ha-shecheres ha-paro u-mechar, so if someone slaughters a cow and he sells of it, v'noidashi treifa, a different problem. It's notified, it's revealed that it was an animal that had a mortal defect, which is not kosher. So, masha achlu achlu, here's what they ate, they ate. U'mash loy achlu, heim yachziru loy sabasa. What they didn't eat, they give him back the flesh, because unlike the bechar tam, which was slaughtered, which is forbidden to have benefit, here a treifa, one could have benefit from it. So they give him back, and he pays them back the money that they had paid for that, which was not what they got, what they wanted. They wanted kosher meat, and he gave them trefer meat. Now, but let's say mecheruhu. Let's say the consumers had sold that meat that they bought, the trefer meat, which they thought was kosher, to a non-Jew, or they fed it to the dogs. Now, since ultimately the seller did not cause the consumers any prohibited activity, because they didn't eat it themselves, so then the halacha is different, that yishalmu, so then they pay him dimei treifa. They pay him the amount of meat that's treifa, which is cheaper, because kosher meat's obviously more expensive, and then he gives them back the difference of that amount. So although they paid him in full, he takes all from that, and he's only going to charge them according to the amount of treifa meat. But we don't penalize him that he has to totally compensate them, as in the previous case of Bechair, when they sell him the tray for meat because they didn't eat it. So he didn't cause them any iser. So rather, he just charges them the amount of how much tray for meat, which could be utilized to sell to a non-Jew or give to the dogs. Now, if someone sells meat to his friend, like in the halacha of our Mishnah, it turns out it was prohibited meat. It was the meat of a firstborn animal. Or peris v'nimsa tefalim, or if he sold them produce, turns out it was untithed produce. Or yain v'nimsa yain esach, or he sold them wine, turns out it was wine of libations to idolatry, which is all these things are forbidden. So says the Braisa, like we said in the Mishnah, so masha ochlo ochlo, what they ate, but v'yachs l'masadam, we require him to give them back the monies. Now, Reb Shimon Lozaim, he says it depends. Dvarim sha nefesh katze behen, things that a person gets disgusted and repulsed by. So yachzal nasadam. Then, like, yeah, we said in the Mishnah, then whatever they ate, he has to pay them back for, because he says that they didn't have that benefit, even what they ate, from the moment they realized, I ate that, the person's going to say that they're going to be disgusted by that, and actually removes that benefit that they had. And therefore, then he has to totally compensate them. But v'she'ena nefesh katzabem, but if it turns out something that's forbidden, but they're not repulsed by what they ate, then yinaklem es adam, and then he could take off from the amount of that they ate, because that they did have benefit. What they didn't have benefit yet, then they give it back, and they give them back that monies. But what they ate, then that was something they considered benefit, and that it doesn't take off from the price that they paid. And says Reb Shimon Lazar, the elohim devar mishan nefesh katzabem. What are the things that a person is repulsed by, and even retroactively what they ate, they don't have to pay for? Is nevelis or treifus, an animal that died by itself without being slaughtered or had a mortal defect. Shkatzim remusim, vermin. Those are things that a person discussed that he ate such a thing and considered that he didn't benefit from it. Ve'elohen dvarm she'enen nefesh katzim, what's considered that he's not disgusted by it, although it's forbidden, and but there, masha achlu, achlu, and he doesn't have to compensate them for the benefit that they had, is b'chayris, it's a firstborn animal that was not blemished. Tvalim, untithed produce, v'yayin esach, and wine of libations. Now, the Gemara asks, so okay, he's saying that these three items are that the halacha is bechayr, the first one was the firstborn animal, that then we said yinaka, that there the seller could take off a little bit of those monies. And that says the Gemara, why is that? The lemale, let the Yisrael, the consumer, tell to the kain, the seller, mayaf saditach, what did I cause a loss from you? What do you mean? Even if the meat was in your possession, since it was slaughtered in an unblemished state, it would have to be buried. So why are you taking off any money? You have to compensate me because this is not what I intended to buy. So you're saying, oh, the benefit that I had, what? That's not causing, and you anyways would have been the total loss. So why should that come off from the money that you owe me back? He should have to give him back everything. Says Gemara, no, tzricha, it's necessary, it's for example talking about where the kayin, the slaughterer, sold him, mimakim muma, from a place, to, he sold to the Yisrael consumer, from a place that actually there was a blemish on that bechar. The amale, where the kayin could tell him, if I had this, ilav de achalta, had you not eaten it, have a machzenele, then I would have showed it as it was already post-slaughtering, and then v'sharinale, and actually then it would have been permitted for me, it wouldn't have been forbidden a benefit. Like Rabbi Yehuda, who he said on the Chav Chesam and Aleph, that he said that someone that slaughters a firstborn animal, and then post-slaughtering, shows the blemish to the chacham, that Rabbi Yehuda says it could be mutter. And therefore, although it was not shown to a chacham yet and slaughtered, it could have been permitted had he not eaten it. So therefore, you did cause a loss for me. So what you did benefit from, since nafshe is not kutzban, therefore for that I'm not taking off from the price. The rest I'll compensate you, but that it doesn't have to. Now the next case was tevalim, regarding untithed produce. Here also the question is, why does the seller take off, deduct from the what he has to pay him back? Why? Let him tell him what I cause you a loss. Anyways, it's forbidden for anyone to have benefit. Oh, that the Gemara says, no, the seller could tell it to the consumer, had you not eaten it, have a masekninulu vachalnuluhu. I would have fixed it. I would have taken up trumas and maizeth, and then I could have been able to eat it. And therefore, that is a loss for me. And therefore, what you had benefit, because your nafshe is not katsuban, therefore from that he deducts what he's paying them back. Then the Gemara goes to the third case, yayin nesach, wine of libations. Why does the seller be able to take off a little bit from the price? What do you mean, it's totally forbidden? And that's the Gemara, it's talking about where he didn't sell him just straight up the Yayin Nesach itself. Rather, it's Al Yidei Taravis. It's where he mixed the Yayin Nesach, the idolatrous wine, with kosher wine. And he sold it to him together. On that he could tell him, had you given it back to me, I would have been able to sell it to a non-Jew, besides the value of the Yayin Nesach that's mixed into it. Okay, we should bring him Leel. The Mishnah says, Yayin Nesach Shenaf Labar. Wine, idolatrous wine that fell into a pit of wine. So kula yasabano. Now everything that of the taravis makes it all forbidden to have benefit from it. Now Shemigam Leilemi says no. You macher kula laevikachavim chutz midme yain nesach shabai. No, you could sell it all to a non-Jew. That wine exceeds the value of the yain nesach, which you can't have benefit from. But everything else you could, and therefore he says you did cause me a loss. Had you given the bag to me, I would have been able to sell besides that yain nesach. And therefore, since again nafshe is not katzben, he deducts that value from what he has to compensate to the buyer. Hanulach called Psulei HaMikdashim, which I will turn to the fifth parak of Masechtas Becharis, parak called Psulei HaMikdashim, which spoke about as that topic of the invalidations in Karbanis, and specifically regarding the blemishes in the Bechar, which that actually takes us into the next, the sixth parak, parak Al Elu Mumen, which continues on this theme regarding the blemishes and specifying and delineating what are the blemishes in the Bechar that then makes it permitted or at least invalidated of slaughtering it as a carbon, and then subsequently being permitted to use for a person's own usages out of the base of Mikdash. So says the Mishnah, Aleilu Mumin Sheikh Nesabachar, regarding these blemishes, we could slaughter the firstborn animal for a person's own utility, which means, especially now that there's no base of Mikdash, it has to be blemished. So this Mishnah discusses the blemishes in the ear. Nifgima osnoi min hachaschois. If the ear was nicked in the cartilage part, which is the cartilage on the outer part of the ear, that would make it into a blemish. Avaloi ha'ar, but not from the skin, which that is referring to the lobe of the ear, which is all skin, which is not cartilage, since that's going to regenerate, it's going to become healthy again. So that's not considered a blemish to permit the bechar. Nistika afa pishalei chasra. If it got split, the ear, even if nothing was missing, and that's the different terminologies that we used in the previous case, nifkema, pegima is never without missing something, but sedek, a split, is even without missing, that would also, as long as it's split, that would also make it into a mum. and then nikva maloi karshina, if it has a hole the size of vetch, which is a certain type of a bean, oi shiyavsha, or if it got dried up, these are all considered mumin, blemishes in the ear of the firstborn animal. Now, ezer yuvesha, what's the last case of what's considered dried up? So the Tanna Kamma says, kosher to nakiv ve'ena metziah tibas dam. If you would make a hole in the ear and no blood would come out, no drop of blood would come out, that's really dried up. Rabbi Yisrael ben Meshulam, he says, yevesha shetei nefreches. Dried up is that if one would touch it with one's hand, it would crumble. That's what's considered dried up. Now the Gemara wonders, amai, why are these blemishes in the ear considered blemishes? But pesach ve'ivriksiv, the pasuk that talks about the blemishes that permit the firstborn to be slaughtered, says if it's lame or if it's blind. It sounds like nothing else, because it says, and it says, b'sherecha techlenu, which is without bringing it as a carbon. So it seemingly would be only if it's lame or blind. How do we know to include all these other ones? It says over there also in that pasuk in the farm, that if there's going to be a blemish, would sound like even other blemishes. Now, so then the Gemara asks, but the Ema say, the order of the pasuk is, it says, if there's going to be a blemish, that's a klal, that's a general category. Then it says, pisecha iver, if it's lame, or which means something that's limping on its legs, or iver if it's blind, that's a prat, that's specifics. So that's what's called klal prat, a general and specific. So you should say, im b'chlal al mashab prat, that actually nothing is in the general category, but rather only what's in the specific. Pisech v'iver in, that should tell us only if it's lame and blind, but min dechrin yalag, but no other blemishes should be included. Says the Gemara, no, because the pasuk continues, kol mumra, all bad blemishes. Chaz v'kol, that says another general category. That's klal prat a klal. That's general, specific, and general. Iyat adan el kena prat, and there you only qualified what's similar to the specific. Mahaprat mafur is just like the specifics of lame and blind are specific, that mumin shebegolo yveinu chayzrin, they're revealed blemishes, which is obvious, and they don't come back after the blemish. Of kol mumin shebegolo yveinu chayzrin, also all revealed blemishes, and they don't come back, are included, which are the cases of our Mishnah. But that's the Gemara, but ve'ema maybe say more specific. Mahaprat mafur is just like the specifics are explicit. Then mumin shebegolei ubaitel memalach. Yes, they reveal blemishes, but also that they can't do the work. When it's lame, it can't walk. When it's blind, they can't see. And ve'ena chayzer doesn't come back. So it has maybe a third variable. So av kol mumin shebegolei ubaitel memalach ve'ena chayzer. Maybe all blemishes that want to be included have to be revealed, and that it stops it from being able to do its work, and it doesn't come back. So Allah Mitznan, why do we learn in the Mishnah, Nifgema Aznei Menachaschos, V'loi Menachor, that if it got a nick in the cartilage, just not from, if it's only the skin, would be considered a blemish, but that doesn't stop it from hearing, so why is that included in the Mumen? Says the Gemara, Kol Mum Ra, when it says all bad blemishes, Ribu Yuhu, the word Kol is a Ribu, is inclusionary, and we're not expounding it in a Klal Prat, that's a Ribu, and therefore that's including even if it's not going to stop it from doing its work. So then the Gemara asks, but if that's the case, that you have a ribu here from the word kol, including all blemishes, so in mumin shebesei tsunami, so then even a concealed blemish should also permit us to slaughter the bechor because of that blemish. Alam etznan, so then why did we learn the mission later on, the Flamet Tesemet Aleph, that says, chutin hachitzainis, the outer gums, which is in the middle of the mouth of the animal, shenifkemu, if it was missing a little bit from it, or v'shenigmemu, or if it got cut with a knife in the whiff, nothing's missing, but it's like a split, or vapanemius, or the molars, the inner teeth all the way in the back, shenekru, if they got uprooted, so those are going to be considered blemishes in the bechor. Now the inference is a katintamin base, but for the back molars, for the gums over there, nekru in, that's only if it got uprooted. But nifgamu v'nigmamu lai, there if it's just got split or if it got a little hole, then that's not going to qualify as a mum. Why? Because a mum shebeseser. But if you're including from kol should include all types of blemishes, even mum shebeseser. Says the Gemara, no, because be'ina mumra faleka, you need it to be a bad blemish, and that you don't have. It's not a mum shebeseser, is not called a mumra, only if it's revealed, which then makes it disgusting. Then it's a bad blemish. And since it's concealed, it doesn't qualify as mumra, and therefore that's not going to be included. But the Gemara says, but ihachi, but if that's the case, like we're saying before, that kol mum, the word kol is a ribui, that's including, so okay, if it's a mum over nami, then also a passing temporary blemish should also be included in the blemish and permitting it to be slaughtered. Allah it's not, so why do you learn in the Mishnah of a loim in the ur, but if it's in the earlobe of the animal, which is only temporary, oh, that's not going to permit. Why not? Kol should include even mum over. Says Gemara, no, mum oivis svaruhu. A temporary blemish that it's not going to permit, we know from logic. Because hashta mifik loy perkinin ilove, if as the Gemara is going to shortly show, that it doesn't, when it's a temporary blemish, it does not permit us to redeem a psula mikdashin, a carbon that became invalidated because of the blemish. That's not going to qualify to be able to redeem it when it's a temporary blemish. So mishchat shechtin olave, so you think that would permit us to slaughter a bechor outside of the base of mikdash? No, that obviously requires a greater permitting to disqualify from a carbon, which then you could redeem, is less than even going further and saying not only is disqualified, but then you could do it and slaughter it outside. So if a temporary blemish does not allow us to redeem, for sure, or it's not going to let us slaughter the bechor on the outside, because the time, like, learn the b'raisa. Pasuk says in the Yikra, the imkol beim etzmei, and if any impure animal, asher lo yakrivu mimena karban Hashem, which you're not going to be able to bring as a karban to Hashem. So that's what the pasuk says in Meyikra, that okay, so then you'll stand the animal in front of the kohen, he'll evaluate it, and then you'll be able to redeem it and use it for your own purposes. Now says the brayso, bebali mumen hakasa medaber, regarding a blemished animal that was redeemed, that's what the pasuk is talking about, that then you're going to use it for your own purposes. That says the brayso ato ime bebali mumen shenifta hakasa medaber, is it really talking about a blemished animal that's redeemed? Maybe it's just talking about an unkosher animal, that's what you can't use for a carbon. When the pasuk says later on, and if regarding a non-kosher animal, that a fader erkecha, that then you'll redeem according to its value, so that's already telling us regarding the redeeming of a non-kosher animal. So what's this pasuk, what's telling us that you're not going to bring a carbon from it? It's really referring to a blemished animal that's redeemed. Now continues the Braisa, Yachol Yiftu al Mamaybe. You would think that you could redeem the carbon even if it's only a passing blemish. Tamalema, that's the Pasuk teaches, Asher lo yakrivu mimen the carbon Hashem. That you will not bring, yakrivu is in the future, that you will not bring from it a carbon for Hashem. Which tells us, Misha in a kravik called Iker, only an animal that will never be able to be brought a carbon from it, which is when you have a permanent blemish. That excludes when it's a temporary blemish, which you only can bring it today, but you'll be able to bring it tomorrow. So you see that it cannot be redeemed, and therefore, for regarding the laws of Bukhari, you for sure cannot slaughter in it, and that's how we know that that's not going to be included in kol mum, in permitting the even a mum over to be able to slaughter the Bukhari b'chutz. Or if you want, you could say, to answer the question, imkain, if that would be the case, that a bal mum over, even a temporary blemish, that would permit us to redeem it, then Pesach v'Iver Lamali. So then, why does it say in the Pasuk, when it talks about the Bechayr that's blemished, that what's permitted if it's lame or if it's blind, what do you need it for? Those sound like only if they're permanent blemishes and not temporary, and therefore Pesach Iver is coming to tell us that it cannot be a Mum Iver, and that's how we know that that's not included. But again, the other cases are included from the Kol, which are the cases in our Mishnah. Now, the Gemara continues, our Mishnah said, Nistika, if the ear got split, even if it's not missing anything, that's going to be a blemish. Now, Tanur Bar Lunda Braisa that elaborates on this halacha is that hasadik, that which is split, is kosher, even if it's split just a minute amount. Habegima, this that we said, that if it's nicked, is bein b'dei other bein b'dei b'shamayim, whether that happened by human, by heaven, that, meaning if it's genetic, if it's born with it, either way, that's going to make it considered blemish, that it's permitted to be slaughtered by chutz. Now the Gemara wonders, Machlal, the inference is that, okay, you only said that we're going to Pegima, but the Sadiq B'dei Shemayim Loi, but if it was split genetically, that would not permit it? Ella rather says the Gemara, no, Sadiq U'Pegima, regarding both the split and if it's not, Bein B'dei Shemayim, Bein B'dei Adam, whether it happened through heaven, whether it happened through humans, that would be considered a blemish. Now, V'kamashir Pegima, and how much is the measurement of nicked, is Kadesha Tachkar, is that to get stuck, but see, Pyron, if one's going over, like the way one checks a slaughtering knife, that one goes over with the fingernail, if the fingernail gets stuck, that the same thing in the ear, if it would get stuck, that's considered that it's a pegima and would make the Bechayr into a Balmum. The Mishnah said, Nikva mole v'chulu, if it got a hole the size of karshina of a vetch, that's also going to make it sit a mum. Time to learn the price, it's actually machlekes. How much is a hole in the ear to make it into a mum? So the Tanna Kama says, like we said in the Mishnah, Moloi Karshina, the amount of vetch. Rabbi Yisrael B'Yehudah, he says, Bekadosh, the size of a lentil. Now, continues the Braisa, V'ezi Yevesha, what's considered dried? So we had this machlekes in the Mishnah, Shem Tinoka Ve'eni Metziyah Tibes Dam. If you make a hole and no drop of blood is going to come out, that's dried. Rabbi Yisrael B'Yehudah, he says, Yevesha, Kadesh, Tid Nefrechas, dried as if one would go over with the finger and it would crumble. the air that's considered dried up. Now, Tanu Lina Braisa, Kareivin Devrei and Liyashavin, that the opinions are very close to be the same. Now, the Gemara wonders, Devreim Deman, whose two opinions are really very similar? Elam, if you're going to say the last two opinions of the last Machlekes in this last Braisa, the Tanakam and Rabbi Yisib and the Meshulam regarding what's considered dried up, that's the Gemara, no, Tuvik, it's very different between no blood, no drop of blood coming out, and just touching and then a crumbling. So how would that say that the opinions are very similar? Other rather says the Gemara, no, it's regarding the first Machlekes in the Braisa. The Tanakama of Rabbi Yisib and Yehudam, that the truth is that the vetch is not that much bigger than the lentil, only by a little bit, and although they're disagreeing regarding the size of a nekiv, it's really very close to two opinions. Now, the Gemara asks, regarding this, that we said, Rabbi Yisib Yehuda holds, kadasha, that to be considered a whole has to be the size of a lentil. So the Gemara wonders, kadasha in? So what he's saying, only if it's the size of a lentil, but batsim kadasha loy, but if it's less than the size of a lentil, that's not going to be considered a whole to make it into a blemish. But virmini, that seems to be contradicted from his own opinion, it's quoted in the different price. So pasuk in Devarim that says regarding the Eved Ivri that wants to stay longer and is going to stay till Yevil, so he becomes a Nirtza, which is that the pasuk says you're going to take as Hamartzei, you'll take the awl, which is a certain type of betul, and you'll put it in his ear and you'll bore a hole in his ear, and then he becomes this type of Eved that he stays till the Yevil year. Now says the Braisa, Ein le'ele Martzei, I would only know specifically, like the pasuk says, you have to take this awl. Minayin l'rabes hasul, how do we know to include a splinter that its tip is pointy, or vahasira, or a thorn, or vahamachat, or a needle, or vahamakdeach, which is this type of a drill that's like a screw, or vahamechtiv, or a stylus, which is this iron pen. How do you know those tools are also could be used to make the hole in his ear? Tam 11 v'lekach, it says, and you will take, which is called davish nukach, but yet anything that's taken in the hand, any type of a tool that can make the hole, will be valid. That's the Rabbi Yisib Yehuda. Rebbe Yemit says, no, it says in the Pasuk, Marteya, the oil. Ma Marteya Miyuchat Shal Matchas, just like the oil is distinct that it's made out of metal. Of Kol Shal Matchas, also anything that has to be made out of metal. Which the Gemara in the first paragraph in Kedushin explains their Machlekes. Rebbe expounds the Pasuk in Klal and Prat, which doesn't include so much. Whereas Rebbe Yisi expounds in Rebbe Miyit, which generally includes more, and therefore he includes more even those things that are not metal. Now, Bektani Seif, we learned there at the end of the Braisa, that Amar Rebbe in the Girsas Rebbe Lazar, that he said, Yudan Baribi, the Baribi is the term, the great Yudan, Hayadayrish, he expounded and he said as follows, Keshehen Reitzin, when they make this hole, Ein Reitzin Ele B'melis, the hole is in the earlobe. Now, B'chacham Aymer, the sages said, can't be, because there is a halacha that Ein Eved Ivri Kayin Nirtza, if there's a slave, a Jewish slave that's a Kayin, he cannot have this halacha becoming Nirtza. Why? Because Neshan Asabamum, because that hole in his ear would make him into a blemish, and then that would invalidate him from doing that Vaidah. Now, therefore, the Chacham say, Vim Tembe B'melis HaYiretzin, if it's like you're saying that the hole is made in the earlobe, Heich Eved Kayin Asabamum, how would that make the Kayin into the Balmum? As we said in our Mishnah, that goes back, and that wouldn't make him into a permanent blemish. So rather, they say, Ha'ein Reitzin El B'Gevish HaLeizin, obviously then the hole is not there in the earlobe, it's rather in the higher part of the ear, by the Sachis, which is rather by the place of the cartilage. Now, but one thing the Gemara is asking is that we see over here in this Braisa, that everyone's agreeing, and therefore they're disagreeing about where the hole should be made, that the Ritzia, that the making the hole in the ear, would make a blemish, would make the person into a Balmum. Now, in this Braisa, Bisbi Yehuda says that this Ritzia could be done with a macha, with a needle, which is less than the size of a lentil. Yet in Nahar Halachas of the laws of Bukhar, he says it has to be the size of a lentil. So how do we understand it? Is a blemish in the ear even the size of a needle, or does it have to be the size of a lentil? So Amar Rav Chanan bar Katina says, Lekash, it's not a difficulty. Khan, the first Braisa in the context of our Perek, when he says it has to be the size of a lentil, is Lishchid. That's to permit it to be slaughtered by chutz. That has to be a bona fide blemish. Khan lifts here in regards to the laws of the Eved Ivri of that Zakayin, that that's just to invalidate. And that, yeah, that would invalidate by Bukhar too. Because there are many blemishes in a firstborn animal that invalidates it from being brought as a korban on Mizbeach, but would not yet qualify to be slaughtered outside Bachutz. As the Mishnah later on teaches, there are certain blemishes that does not allow a person to slaughter, not in the Beis HaMikdash, but not yet out of the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, yes, the size of a needle would make a blemish, but not enough to permit it to be slaughtered b'chutz. That's specifically the size of a lentil, according to Bais Yehuda. Now, my karshina, what's this vetch? So I'm Rav Shravi, it's hinda, which, as Rashi explains, it's just that in that language they recognized what this was, which in Laz is vetch, but that they understood that, that that's the word in their language was hinda. Now, Baimene Rav Hoshim Rav Huna Rabba. Rav Hoshim asked from the great Rav Huna, that Rav Huna Rabba, Karshina, this is what we're talking about the vetch. Is it ha-nechneses v'yitze? Is it that it's not considered a blemish to permit slaughtering until it's a very wide hole that a vetch would be able to go in and out of it? Or kashino imedes? Or, no, would it even be considered a blemish if the vetch could be pushed into that hole forcefully, even though it can't go in and out, but it would still be considered a blemish? What's the halacha? Does it have to be able to go in and out, or does it have to be able to stay in there in the hole? Which obviously going in and out has to be a little bit bigger. So Amalai, Rav Huna Rabba said to him, Zulei Shemati, the answer to your question I didn't hear, but Kayetzeb Shemati, something similar I did hear, from there you could understand and answer your question. Because it's not we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Aleis, which ultimately it's from the end of that halacha that we're going to learn out, we describe that regarding a measurement that says it's with a makdeach, with a drill, ultimately we show that it's makdeach v'chisumay. Not just the amount of the drill, but the amount of the drill and also the area around the hole that blocks it a little bit, which that's a little bit bigger, that's nichnas v'yaitzi, and therefore that's what we're going to ultimately say, that the same thing is for our question, that this study says the size of vetch, it's not just the size that it could be stuck in, but it has to be able to that it goes in and out. That's what we mean when we say vetch, that would be considered a blemish in the ear to permit the b'chayr to be slaughtered b'chutz. Because the Mishnah Masechtas Aleis says as follows, Hashedra v'hagogaylus, the spine and the skull, when they're intact, they convey tumma in the oil, if it's in the same enclosed area. Whereas regarding all the other bones of a dead person, it's not metame in the oil. Now, let's say shechastru, but let's say they're lacking. Let's say it's not intact. So kamachasarn b'shedra v'leim metame oil, how much does the spine have to be missing to say, okay, now it's not considered a full spine that will not contaminate in the oil? So b'shamer m'shtecholi, it says it has to be at least two vertebrae. B'shilay m'choli achas, even if it's missing just one vertebrae. Ubukogolis, regarding a skull, how much is considered lacking? B'shamer m'koloi k'mloi makdeach, the size of a drill, an auger, it's a certain type of a drill. B'shilay m'kadeshi notl menachai v'yamas. B'shil says the amount that would be taken out of the skull of a living person and then he would die, that's what's considered lacking, that it would not be metam in the oil anymore. Now, the Yasser Rav Chizda became a bailer, and Rav Chizda was sitting and he was asking, this that Basil said, Kadeshi, not the Munachai, the amount that's taken from a living person and then he would die, Vakama. So how much is that? So Amalir of Tachlifa Bar Avdimi says, Hachi Amashmudutsu, what Shmuel said, it's Kesela, it's like the size of a coin called a Sela. Now, the Edmai was said, Rav Safra Amashmait, Amalir, Rav Safra said that what Shmuel was telling him was an Amaroic teaching. Rav Shmuel Bar Yehudam, he says, Masnit Amalir, he was telling him from a Braisa. And v'samanech, and you're mnemonic to recall that you shouldn't make a mistake, who said that it was a shmaitza, a Amoraic teaching, who said it was a braisa, is Tani Rav Shmuel by Yehuda, which is because we find many times in Shas, that Rav Shmuel by Yehuda teaches braisa, like we find in Avodah Zara, Tani Rav Shmuel by Yehuda, so you can remember that he's the one that said it was a braisa, and the other opinion was the one that said, Rav Safra said it was a shmaitza. Now, continues the Gemara, v'amalei, so Rav Chizda said to Rav Tachlifa, so, Im Kain, if that's the case, that what you're saying from Shmuel, that Bishil's opinion in the size that's lacking in the skull, which is the amount that would be taken from a living person who would die, is the size of a Sela. So, Asisa Divri Bishamim, Divri Bishil Echa, but then you're saying that this Machlek is Bisham Bishil, they're really saying the same thing. That really the size of the Sela, which is what you're saying is Bishil, is the size of the Makdeach, of the drill. How do we know that? Because the time we learn the Mishnah Masechta Skim that says Ma'ar, a window, which is what lets the light in, if it wasn't made by a human, meaning to say it's just that the wolf collapsed a little bit between two houses and therefore that made a hole and therefore that was making a window. So shiurai, the measurement to be considered a window, an opening, which would then allow tumma to come in from one house to the other house, if there's a pesach, is maloy egrev gadol, is the size of a large fist. And the reason is, since it wasn't made by a human, so less than that, it's not going to be considered significant to be considered an opening. It has to be the size of a large fist. And what's a large fist? That's the size of the fist of Ben Avatech, which is the name of a person who is a very large person. That's the size of the hole if it wasn't a man-made window. And Amr B'Yisi says, V'yeshnoi, and this fist is Kareish Gadol Shal Adam, is like a large head of a person. Now, but let's say Nasib the Adam, let's say it was made by a person, a window. So then, Shiura, the measurement is even smaller. It's Kamaloi Makdeach Gadol Shal Ishka, it's like the size of the large drill of the chamber of the Beis HaMikdash, where they would put in the chamber a drill in case they needed for the Bedi Gabayis, the temple upkeep. The size of that drill hole, that was the size of this man-made window, which would allow Tumah in from one house to another one. Shukub punyun shel Italki, which is the same size of this Italian punyun coin. Ukisela Nironis, and like this Neronian sella. In other words, it's similar to both of these coins. And Vyashnoi, and this sella and this punyun are, as we continue on top of Lama Chesem and Aleph, Kimlei Nekib shel oil. It's the same amount of the hole that's made for a yoke, which for the yoke to be on the animal, they would make a hole and they would stick a peg in over there to be able to tie on the straps of the yoke. But one thing we see is that the makdeach, we see that we said that if it was nasa b'di adam, the measurement is kamalei makdeach. We see that the size of the drill is the same size as the cell in the right, as the cella. So we see makdeach and cell is the same thing. So if he's saying b'sel is the size that you take from a living person is going to die is the size of a cella, and b'shami says makdeach, so b'shami is saying the same thing. So Ishtik, so Rav Techalifa was silent. So Avamli Rav Chizra said back to him, Shema may be Makdeach. This the Bishame says that to be considered missing in the skull, that's not going to be Metambo Oil anymore, that's the size of a drill. Maybe what he meant was that it's a drill Vichisumoy Shaninu. Together with that, that's also blocking, meaning after the hole is made, so then they also turned the drill to the sides to take away a little bit from the sides of the hole, to widen the hole so that the drill could go in and out very easily. And that's what chisumai means. You take away chisum and what's blocking the hole, which doesn't let the drill go in easily. So the drill with chisumai, with what's blocking, which is a little bit on the sides, that's more than the cella. And that's machlekes b'sham b'sila. B'sila says it's already considered lacking with a cella. B'sham b'sila says it has to be a little bit more. Don't say maybe like you're offering. Elavadi, most definitely, it's like you said. What Bisham was saying was the size of a drill and what's missing and what's blocking it a little bit on the sides. And you have to rely on this teaching that you're saying, like Chizkiah, the father of Ikish, which they relied on his testimony, which there was no Talmud Chacham in the Bismej that would disagree with him when he would say his teaching. And that's the same thing what you're saying. You can rely on what you're saying with the same definitiveness. And therefore, that goes back to explain that he had asked him regarding this halacha of the vetch. Is it that it just sticks in or comes, could go in and out? We could see that the same idea that what Bishame says, that this making the hole, kamalei makdeach, means and a little bit more. That's the same thing to answer that the vetch also is not just sticking in, but it has to be a little bit more that it could be nichnas v'yetz.